things. So we've been in this series, we've been in the book of Philippians. And so each week we've taken a different chapter. Philippians is such a great letter, and it's a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to a church in Philippi, which is now modern-day Greece, in that area of modern-day Greece. And throughout this letter, Paul is challenging the church, and he's encouraging them, and he's speaking to them about the fact that God has more for them. This church was a faithful church. They were a loving church. They had a lot going for them, but Paul is basically telling them, look, God has more for you. And so one of our kind of overriding themes in this series has been, no matter where you are in the Lord, God has more for us. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, that God, you know, we don't want to get to a place where we're just content in kind of hanging out where we've been. God wants to take us to the next level, and I would say that's true of you personally, but it's also true of Bethel Church. Bethel Church is a good church. It's a blessed church, and God has done so much for us and through us throughout the years, but God has more for us. Amen? God has more for us, and believe it or not, for the last couple of months, I'm already praying. This is how a pastor's mind works. I'm already praying about 2017. And God, what do you have for us? And I believe God's got wonderful things for our church in this next year. And so just on a personal level, know that God wants to take you to the next level. And know as a church that God wants to take us to the next level. So this week, we're in Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading this morning at verse 4. If you'll follow along with me in your Bible, and we'll also have it up on the screen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Boy, we can feel that this morning, can't we? The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I want to draw your attention specifically to the first part of that sixth verse. Do not be anxious about anything, or the New Living Translation says it this way, don't worry about anything. So if we're going to live life at the next level, at a supernatural instead of just a natural level, we're going to have to learn how to be successful in our struggle, in our battles with worry and fear and anxiety. How many of you this morning would agree with me, though, that that's easier said than done? Right? It's easier said than done. I mean, all of us know that worry's bad for us, right? I mean, we all know that. We know that it raises our blood pressure and makes it so we can't sleep at night, and it stresses us out, and it can make us difficult to live with, and gives you all kinds of headaches and ulcers and all of these kinds of things, and that excessive worry can really lead us into very dark depression. We all know that worry's not good for us. We know it's a bad thing, but we do it anyway. But I want you to know this morning that winning over worry, overcoming worry, is possible. With God's help, we can do it. How do I know that? Because God tells us to not worry. And if God tells you to do something, He'll always help you to do it, right? So if God says, don't worry, with God's help, it's possible to overcome worry in our lives. Now, some of you might right now be thinking, Pastor Tim, you've lost me already. You're telling me that it's possible not to worry. Pastor Tim, what planet are you from? Because from my perspective, worry is just part of life. I mean, look at the world we live in, Pastor Tim. Have you read the news? Have you thought about Afghanistan? Have you thought about Iraq. Pastor Tim, have you watched even one of these debates? I mean, Pastor Tim, my kids need braces. Look at everything around us. My new job's a hassle and my kids have the flu. Little Harry Chapin reference there for you older people. Okay, I get it. I know. I understand. There's a lot we could worry about, but here's what I know. Worrying doesn't help at all. Right? Worrying never helps anything. So I know it's possible with God's help, to overcome worry. But here's something else I know. You will never overcome worry by just trying not to worry. Right? That is not the answer. When someone says to you, oh, just don't worry, you're like, thanks a lot. That doesn't help. Right? I mean, if it was that easy, I would have done it a long time ago. You know, when someone tells you not to worry about something, sometimes it makes you worry more. Right? Like, if my doctor says, hey, Tim, I noticed this little mole on your shoulder. It's a little funny looking, but I don't think it's anything to worry about. I just want to say thanks a lot. I wasn't worried until you just said that. Right? So being told not to worry really doesn't help anything. Worry is something that must be intentionally, proactively overcome with faith. Right? Just trying not to worry doesn't fix anything, but we must understand that God can help us be proactive and we can overcome worry. So our big idea for the day is this. Next level living means learning how to overcome fear, anxiety, and worry. Because guys, worry is just the opposite of the peace that God wants us to have. It's just the opposite of the peace that God wants to give us. But in order to overcome worry in our lives, we have to make a shift. We have to change how we're doing things. We have to change how we're thinking. And so what I love about the passage of Scripture that we just read is this passage of Scripture is like a toolbox for us that we can go to. It's not just saying, just don't worry. It actually gives us some things to help us not to worry. So I want to go back and just point out a few of these principles and from God's word about how to overcome worry. And the first thing is this. If you want to overcome worry, you need to embrace joy. Embrace joy. That fourth verse again, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It must have been important because Paul repeats himself here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, the word rejoice here in the Greek is actually the verb form of the word joy, okay? So joy would be the noun, the verb form of the exact same word is rejoice. In other words, it kind of means do joy, okay? Be a joyful person. So it's a choice that we make. So it's interesting to me that this is actually a command, because a lot of times when we think about joy, we think it's a feeling that just kind of comes and goes. And it's true that joy is an emotion, but it's also a choice. It's a decision that we make. We choose to be joyful. Circle the word in that verse. Circle the word always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Because we all rejoice sometimes, right? We all rejoice sometimes. The problem is we start to go up and down with our joy because the circumstances of life go up and down. I mean, the sun is shining, we're happy, right? It gets cold and wet and the days get shorter and we're sad. Our team wins, we're happy. Our team loses, we're sad. We've got all we need, we're happy. Okay, we've got financial stresses, we're sad. So I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul, when he writes this letter, He's not on a beach in Maui. He's in prison. He's in prison. You know, if someone writes to me from a beach in Maui and says, rejoice, be happy, I would probably say, well, great, easy for you to say. You're on a beach in Maui. But when someone writes to me from jail and says, rejoice, man, that carries some weight, doesn't it? Rejoice on your good days and on your bad days, when things are easy, when things are difficult, rejoice, rejoice. And then notice the other part of that verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Jesus is the source of our joy, not our circumstances. You don't have to like every circumstance in life. That would be weird. Yeah, there's stuff that in life that's just tough. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what my day looks like, Jesus is the same. And I can rejoice in who Jesus is, and I can rejoice in what Jesus has done for me. Guys, look, Jesus has died on the cross for my sins. He has risen from the dead. He has defeated death. He has defeated the enemy. He's coming back one day. He is going to rule and reign forever and ever and ever, and I can choose to rejoice in that. I rejoice in Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Choose joy. Choose joy. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says this. We're going to skip over a little bit there, Marcus. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your... And notice the Lord's in there again. It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. Awesome, awesome. Now the next key to overcoming worry is found in the fifth verse, where it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. How does this help me not have stress and worry and anxiety in my life? What does my gentleness have to do with overcoming worry and anxiety? Have you ever known someone who is just, they're just a contentious person? They're just contentious. They just, it's like they're so... it's like there's a storm brewing inside of them. And whenever, have you ever known somebody that, like, when they walk into the room, the stress level of the entire room goes up, right? Because everybody, what's going to happen, you know? Because it's not a person who's gentle in their spirit. They're full of strife. They're full of contention. And I'm just telling you, when you are full of strife and contention, it just reflects back to you, and your whole anxiety level is going to go up. So learn, the word gentle here means to be thoughtful. It means to be mindful. In other words, stop focusing so much on how you're doing and how everything affects you, and start being mindful and thoughtful of the people around you. And you're going to find when you get the attention off yourself and onto other people, your stress level is going to start going down. Does that make sense? Think about how you can give. Think about how the Lord could use you to minister to other people at work and at school and at church. Think about how God wants to use you as a conduit to be a blessing to other people. So number two in your notes is be thoughtful of others. Be thoughtful of others. Might not seem like it fits this message, but it does. If you want to take your anxiety and worry level down, start thinking about other people. Number three in your notes, be mindful of God's abiding presence. Really simple, simple part of this verse, verse 5, but what a powerful, powerful truth. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. God is not far off. God is not unconcerned, right? God's near. God's with you at work. Just say, God's with me at work. Yeah, God's with you at work. He's with you at school. God is near. It doesn't say God is near when you're at church. God is near all the time. His presence. And what, that just changes, that perspective changes everything in life, just knowing, man, God's right here with me. God's here with me. Yeah, God's here with me. And how many of you know God goes to hospitals, right? If you're in the hospital, God's with you. No matter where you're at, God's with you. He's with you in that tough meeting with your boss. God's right there. He's with you. The Lord is near. What a stress buster that is. God is here. And then number four, pray about your problems. Pray about your problems. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but instead, right? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So prayer is something proactive we can do to overcome worry. Now, I used to think this. I used to think, well, why pray about things? Why pray about things? Because it's not like God doesn't already know. Doesn't God already know this stuff? I mean, why pray about it? God already knows, and he knows what he's going to do. And I mean, why pray? We need to remember this. Prayer is not me telling God something he doesn't already know. That's not what prayer is. By the way, God, did you notice this? Okay? Prayer is me. It's us proactively responding to difficult situations with faith. Okay? So in prayer, I come into agreement with God's word that God is big enough, that God is good enough, that God is my healer, that God is my provider. And man, what a awesome weapon against fear and worry in my life, prayer. It's a gift from God. Just think about it. God invites us to come into his presence and to bring our requests to him, to bring our needs to him. I'm going to read to you, if you want to turn there, you can, Psalm chapter 3. This is not going to be up on the screen because I just added this in, but Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3 is an incredible psalm, and in the title of the psalm, it lets us know exactly the circumstances that David finds himself in when he writes this psalm. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. A psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Okay? So you can read all about that in the Bible, but Absalom was David's son, and Absalom led a rebellion against his own father. And now, how many of you know as a dad, that's a bad day? Your son is trying to kill you. He's got other people trying to kill you. He's trying to take over the throne of Israel. And so David was kind of caught off guard, had no idea this was coming. So he had to flee, he had to leave the palace. And he had to go hide out from his own son. Okay? So that's the circumstance David is in when he writes this psalm. And here's what he writes. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Just being honest. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But then he says this, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. And then get this next verse. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Can you imagine that? I mean, they had done everything they could. They prayed about it. They took it to God. And then David turns to his friends and says, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going to bed. There's nothing else we can do. We've prayed about it. I'm going to bed, and I'm going to sleep well, because my trust is in God. And he says, then tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and God's still going to be with me. Man. Awesome. Prayer is a great gift from God. It really will help you sleep better. And then notice also a part of that verse that we pray and we take our needs to the Lord, but Paul says to do that with thanksgiving, right? With thanksgiving. So a good portion of your prayer time should be spent in giving thanks to the Lord. Prayer is certainly bringing our needs to the Lord, but don't forget in your prayer time to just be a thankful person. and you talk about anxiety going down in your life, start just counting all the ways God's blessed you. Start being thankful in your prayer life. Thank God for what he's done for you. Thank God for who he is. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God that your future is in his hands. Amen? Just be thankful. Be a thankful person. Because the reality is, you can pray and then keep on worrying. You can do that. Or you can pray and say, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm going to trust God. Right? You can pray and keep on worrying. It's possible. Or you can really pray and you can trust God with what you've prayed about. Then number five in your notes. Take charge of your thought life. Take charge of your thought life. Oh, this is so important. If you want to overcome fear, worry, anxiety, take charge of your thought life. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about this list here, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Guys, there is amazing power in the world of thoughts. What you're thinking makes a difference. It matters. Take charge of your thought life. Your brain is like a complex computer. And by and large, your brain is going to respond according to what you've put into it. All right? Just think about a computer programmer writing code, line upon line writing code, and as they're writing that code is telling the computer how to respond. It's telling the computer what to do. All right? So your brain is a very complex computer. And in your life, you're writing on your brain. All right? And your brain's going to respond according to what you've input into your brain. So you can choose, if you want to fill your brain with all kinds of trash, lies, pornography, negativity, malice, discontentment, unrighteousness. You can fill your brain with that stuff. I'm just telling you, you're going to get what you get when you do that. Or you can fill your brain with what is right, what is noble, what is true, what is pure, what's admirable, what's lovely, what's excellent, what's praiseworthy. You can fill your brain with that kind of stuff. And how many of you know if you fill your brain with that kind of stuff, you're going to get way better results, right? Way better results. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's a great Bible teacher, years ago, he once wrote this. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? So true. So true. I mean, if you're just letting your brain go to all kinds of weirdness, it's going to make you an unhappy person. But if you will start telling yourself what you should be thinking, you're going to flip the script. You're going to change things in your life. Someone once said this, so simple, same old thinking, same old results, right? Keep thinking the same way, you're going to get the same old results, and it's just a bad cycle. But with God's help, we want to break that cycle by taking control of our thought life, amen? How many of you this morning, you would say, just being honest, man, I need that in my life, right? I just need, yeah, I think we could all grow in that area of life. And then here's the result. This great promise in verse 7, we're going to close with this. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I think we all want that kind of peace in our lives. All of us do, of course. But it feels so elusive. But I want you to know it's a gift from God. God can give us peace. He can impart peace to our lives, but we've got to do it according to his way. Amen? You're not going to find it anyplace else. It's only going to be found in Jesus. You know, the Bible calls Jesus, one of the titles of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. So think about that title. The Prince, that implies we're letting him have the power. We're letting Jesus be in charge of our lives. Amen? He's the Prince. And he's the Prince of Peace. When we let Jesus have his way in our lives, it's going to result in peace for us. That's what he will do for us. I'm not really much of a bumper sticker guy, but I'll tell you, I like this one. It makes sense to me. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Yeah. And the more of Jesus that you get to know, the more peace you're going to have